Our scripture today is from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 12 to 17. Let's pray before we get into this. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and for your love in the midst of it. For the fact that you show us great mercy in this moment and that you give us your word, truly a lamp unto our feet, a light to our path, helping us through this life in so many ways. May we be attentive to your word, Lord. Open up our hearts and our minds to receive this glorious gift. We also pray for your spirit to be upon the sermon, that it too may be for your glory, and what is spoken is used by you and you alone. We thank you for your glorious love, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, 12 to 17. Hear now God's word. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Which penny has higher value, the dirty one or the clean one? Dirty one. What's that? Depends on the day. No, truth be told, they're both a penny. They're both a penny. You take both, either of them to the store, and then you have 2 cents. That's about it. However, those of you who did say the dirty one, in terms of collector value, the dirty one is worth more than the other one. Anyone want to guess how much the dirty one is worth? 2 cents. Just over $1,000. It's a 1946 wheat penny that is unminted. Has no minting on it. If you look at the 2020, there's a mint D on it. Denver? Dallas?
Denver.
Thank you. 1946 has no minting on it where it was from. Kind of a rare. On eBay, this thing will only cost you $1,700. There are cheaper options, however, if you're looking for a very expensive penny. We do this all the time, though, as people. It's a defense mechanism. It helps in our survival. And what that thing is first impressions. First impressions on the pennies, we see a clean one and a dirty one. And that's about it. That's our first impressions of the pennies. And of the pennies, really, they're a penny. You take either of them to the store, and they will give you a penny's worth of value for it. But we don't do this just with coin. We do this all the time, with everything. First impressions. They say first impressions, how's the old saying go? Speak volumes, something like that. First impressions last a lifetime. That's what it is. First impressions last a lifetime. You know, how you look, that we have a whole economic economy, money-making line based upon first impressions. If you go get a job, you want to look nice, right? So you wear the best that you got. You wear the suit, you wear the tie, you know, if it's that kind of job, you make sure your facial hair, if you have any, male or female, is trimmed. You make sure that your hair is done and that it looks nice. You know, you put your best foot forward so that when you walk through the door, they look at you and say, I don't know, what are they supposed to say? There's a quality individual and we want them on our team. And don't fault people for that. I mean, that's survival. You know, we judge with first impressions on a daily basis. You wake up in the morning, what do? Look out the window. What's your first impressions of what you see? That dictates what you're going to wear. Sometimes it dictates how you feel. You know, you wake up, you look outside, it's bright and sunny outside. You put on shorts and a t-shirt and you run outside and it's 18 degrees. First impressions aren't always right, but they're helpful. First impressions can be helpful. You wake up, you look outside, it's snowy. There's 3 feet of snow on the ground. You now have an idea based on first impressions of what you're going to do for the day. You walk past the stove, you see an empty pot on the stove, and underneath the empty pot is a bright red burner. What does that tell you about that pot? It's hot. Be careful when you touch it. Grab it by the handle, not by the pot itself. You have the oven on, you see that the temperature is 350. There's an empty pan inside because someone didn't take the pan out. You're going to reach in and grab it with your bare hands. First impressions tell you that it's hot and that you should probably wear gloves. You see a dog that's snarling with bare teeth and saliva coming down, and he's mangy and walking down the street. You're going to approach it? Probably not, because it might be sick, rabid, or just mean. And so you get help. First impressions have kept us safe for years and years. The thing is that oftentimes we take these first impressions and we judge a person's entire character based around just a few things. Like I said, we've built these things up in order to protect ourselves over the year. We were hurt by someone in the past, and we take that caricature of that person and we place that pattern upon another. We meet another person that fits that caricature and we're leery of them. We're cautious around them because of past experiences. But if we stay there, we could miss something quite special. My dad was in seminary or college. I can't remember which it was. Dad was 32 when he started college, 36, somewhere around there anyway. And him and a team of other students, they went to a jewelry store and they each dressed differently and noted how the person behind the counter treated them based upon their looks. You know, the person who was dressed very well was treated very well. The person who was in a wheelchair was not treated very, very well. The tray came up on top for the person who looked very nice. The tray stayed down and the item came up and never left the hand. You know, those sort of things. First impressions are powerful. In our scripture today, we're talking about first impressions. The Bible is chock full of instances where Christians took first impressions and did the wrong things with them. Early church in James had James talked about an early church where a rich man came in and they treated this rich person with a great deal of respect. Gave him the best seat in the house, though he's never been there before. Gave him the best things, treated him very kindly. And a poor person came in and they told the poor person to sit on the floor and treated him with disrespect because he can't offer anything. The churches were guilty of treating people with first impressions as much as anyone else. In fact, maybe even more harshly, because we shouldn't be doing that. We know we shouldn't be doing that because scriptures like we just read today in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the scriptures that we read talks about how we're to look as God looks at us, and that's at the heart. Now, interesting thing about that, what makes people worthy? What gives people their worth? Is it their looks? We oftentimes, first impressions do that, right? But what actually gives a person their worth? God. Someone in the last church went, you know, like the heart. But it's not actually the heart. It's who created them. Regardless of what's in here, or what's out here, what gives us our worth is that God created us. Therefore, we have worth and value. Nothing else. Nothing else that gives makes a person worth something more. Just the fact that God loves us. Christ died for us. Rose again that we may have life. Regardless of what a person does or a person's background or whatever the case might be, that person has worth and value. It's true that sometimes we don't do well with our worth and value, but that doesn't take it away. It also is true that there are people that we as certain individuals cannot be around. Because a person has hurt us or a person is toxic to us, and that's okay. That doesn't diminish their value. They still have worth and value. But that also means that you should maintain your distance because you are not the person for them. God makes all kinds of people to be around all kinds of different people. But that person does have value. The person is worth something. A lot of some things. And the greatest of that is that Jesus saw fit to die for that person. That that person may know love and hope and peace. It's hard for all of us. I get it. Many of us have that person. No matter how hard we try, they just rub us the wrong way. It's so hard to be around them. They're not a danger to us or anything. We just, I don't know. The thing is that person is loved by God as much as we are loved by God. That person has great worth and great value and should have our respect and our love as best as we're able to give it. I'm thankful to God that I'm part of a church here in Trinity that does a very good job at showing others that they have worth and value. But I know that we're not perfect as a church or as individuals. That each day we should pray to God and judge not based upon appearances, but judge based upon the fact that they're loved by God. And that Christ died and rose from the dead for their sake. When we look for worth, I pray that we look through the eyes of Christ. And Christ alone. And we see what's truly there. And offer ourselves and our love whenever we can. I thank God for those moments which will come in our lives. To share God's love to those who maybe others might not be. Benediction I'd like to leave with you today is from Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. Hear now God's word. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen. Go in peace.